Hi everyone, welcome back to They See Dreamers, a podcast exploring the stories of South Asian trailblazers living in Britain, those who dare to dream across borders, generations and expectations. I want to go past the singular definition of South Asians and create a vivid tapestry of the South Asian experience, including generations of dreams deferred, obstacles overcome and boundaries transcended through a spirit of determination. In this second series, we're doing something a little different. Each guest will spotlight one Desi dreamer who shaped their creative outlook, someone who paved the way, inspired them, or whose story needs to be remembered. In this episode, I'll be talking to Preethi, the creator and host of It's Preethi Personal, a podcast about navigating your 20s and 30s, from careers and money to relationships and self-development. When she didn't see her experiences reflected in mainstream media, she built the platform she wished existed. Her show has ranked in the top 3% of global podcasts and was nominated for Best Podcast at the Asian Media Awards. I'm so excited to speak to her about her experience in the world of audio and how her culture has influenced the work she does. So join me as we welcome Preethi to They See Dreamers.
I do say like quite a lot. I realised that when I listen back to my own podcast, I'm like, Why do I say like 5,000 times?
I feel like I go a lot. That's my problem. I leave a lot of gaps and then I go and then I say things. So I'm trying to cut that down.
That's easy to edit out though.
Ums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like if you have a pause in an you can just like snip that bit. Yeah. Snip that bit.
Oh, but you're saying likes within the
sentence and it's like blah, blah, blah.
I think that's okay though, because surely everyone's doing that. It makes you authentic.
I would like to hope so.
Okay, let's get into it.
Yes.
Hi Preethi, welcome to They See Dreamers. How are you? How's your day been?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. It feels really nice to be this end of the microphone, to be honest, because normally I'm doing like your job.
Yeah. How was your day? What have you been up to?
It's actually been a really chill day, which has been so lovely. Like, went to the gym. I started watching Never Have I Ever Again, the Mindy Kaling show.
Love.
Because I was like, there's no Friends on Netflix anymore. That I was like, oh, what else do I want to watch? And I was like, oh, let me do a bit of a throwback. So it's like watching Never Have I Ever. Yeah. And then obviously just like working. So it's kind of been my day.
Nice, nice. How's the rewatch of Never Have I Ever? Have you had any new revelations?
I feel like I forgot it was actually like a really good show.
Yeah.
And I think like now watching it back, like a couple of years later, I feel like I was like, it's cute. Like it's a very like American like coming of age, and then they obviously have like the South Asian references. And the thing that I love about it was one, it's finally a sitcom around like South Asian people, and I think that level of representation is amazing. But also the fact that like her South Asian heritage isn't like her whole identity, and it's like part of her identity. And I think that level of representation was also really nice, where it was like sprinkled within the show, rather than it being about like the fact that she is South Asian.
Yeah, and it really was at a wave where there was a lot more sort of South Asian representation in so at least TV and media that way, for sure. So it came at a really good time. Maybe I should do a rewatch too.
Do a rewatch, let me know what you think.
We could do a watch along. Okay, I wanted to talk to you about your podcast, of course, and I'm so excited to talk to a fellow podcaster and compare notes about like what it's like in this world of audio. But for the benefit of the listeners, do you want to describe a little bit more about your podcast?
Yeah, so I have a podcast called It's Preethi Personal, a pun on my name of being called Preethi. And it's honestly a podcast more specifically for South Asian girls in their 20s and 30s who are honestly figuring out life. I feel like, especially when you get to a point of like your 20s and your 30s, like, and with the first time growing up and the world is really big and it's really confusing and everyone starts to go into like different directions of the world, it can be really lonely sometimes to be on a different path to other people in your life. And I think for me, I love listening to podcasts, and I've always seen podcasts as a way to kind of feel seen and represented and heard, and be like, there has to be someone out there going through a really similar situation to me. And I always kind of use podcasts as a place to feel comfort and to feel this level of relatability. And I think I never used to find that. I never used to be able to find that when it came to my identity of being South Asian. So that's what I'm trying to build, is trying to build a podcast where any girl, if they are from a South Asian background or not, but a place for people to come and be like, yeah, like this girl gets it, or she understands it, or wow, I've learned so much. Because I think for the longest time, we've, and I can only talk from my own experience, but a lot of times I've tried to find myself in other stories because there was never my story. Like, I feel like we find ourselves in pockets of communities, and sometimes we just want to be the main character.
That's so interesting. And I really do relate to that in sort of my journey into audio, in that I just love the space, and I always use that as a place for entertainment, but also just a point of reflection. And I just love the medium of audio.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I was just trying to latch on to different podcasts or parts of audio that I related to, but there wasn't really something that was made by people like us or people thinking about the same questions that I am. And I thought, well, if no one else is, I'll just do it myself.
And we need more voices. I feel like, for example, the podcast industry is growing, and I feel like, but there is still such an underrepresentation of people's voices, especially women of color. And I think there's such an underrepresentation of South Asian voices in that. And I think there is, and I feel like one person can't represent an entire community, because South Asia is so diverse.
Yeah.
And there are so many different nuances and intersectionalities. Like, no one person can represent a whole global majority of like 1 billion people plus.
For sure. And I think I've spoken about it on this podcast before, but just the idea that South Asia in general is often a monolith in a lot of media that we see. And it's like curry and being a nerd and whatever it is that media has painted out the stereotype
to
be.
There's so much more than that.
And there's so much more sort of depth to it than that. And I think it's really important that we just platform different voices and platform different talent to show that, which is what, obviously what we're trying to do here on Desi Dreamers. I just wanted to ask you quickly, like, what does community mean to you now? Like, a couple of years into your podcast, all of the sort of work that you've done since, have you sort of learned more about community and what that means, and how has your podcast sort of taught you that?
Yeah, so I feel like communities for me has always been a place of belonging. And I think because a lot of my work is also rooted in community outside of my podcast as well. So my day job is also focusing on community. I think community can sometimes be such a buzzword. And I think everyone is like, my community, but what does that mean? And a lot of times it's about how the other person feels. So community is about like them coming in, and is there a seat on the table for them? Them coming in and being able to be their most authentic self and not feel like, have I said too much, or I don't know, or they feel like they don't need to code switch, they don't need to put on a mask, like they can just be themselves. And they feel this level of relatability, and there's people in the room that are inviting them in and giving them opportunities, and we're all kind of like raising together. I think that's what community is. It's this level of bringing people together, but bring, and then creating a space where people can feel seen and heard and represented and themselves, and knowing it's a place where people rise together and it's gonna make them feel less alone.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I really relate to that. And I think one thing interesting about what you said about like rising together and supporting each other is that I think sometimes, not necessarily a taboo, but it can be quite difficult in South Asian culture sometimes, because there's a lot of cattiness, there's a lot of judgmental aunties, there's all of that sort of tropes of wanting to keep things to yourself because of evil eye or whatever it is, that it sometimes means that the concept of community can become a bit sort of tarnished by the fact that not everyone's always on your side. So trying to build comfort around the things that you're passionate about is like really important. And I think audio is a really lovely way of doing that, but also just like all of the ways we can build community, just engaging in creative events is such a like a powerful way of bringing people together and knowing that we're all on each other's side and fighting for like the same things.
Yeah, definitely. And people are, people live in different places as well, like online, especially online. Like, for example, some people live off social media, some people live on podcasts, some people live on real life events. Like, mm-hmm. all of these different mediums are necessary. Mm. Like I said, like, there's no one fits all when it comes to community. Like, you can have an in-person community, you can have an online community. Mm-hmm. Community can mean different things to different people, but the essence and the nuance of it is the same, where it's bringing people together.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I wanted to ask, is there sort of a message or a moment or something that you've had from someone from your community or a listener or someone in your life where it's just reminded you of why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I feel like when people message, it literally makes my day. Like, aww. You must relate to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I think sometimes we live in a world, especially when you're on social media, where you are... there's a lot of numbers, mm. and there's a lot of statistics, and there's a lot of, like, it's very easy to fall into the trap of your worth is like the social media validation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's not true, mm. because you never know who's listening. And mm. I think when I get messages from people when they're like, oh my god, I love your podcast, or thank you so much for like mm. this episode, or wow, I've learned so much, or thank you so much for like helping me feel less alone, I was going through X, Y, and Z. Mm. Those are like tenfold. Like, that feeling of like, oh my god, like, I'm helping someone, yeah. is so special, because when I first started my journey, I didn't have that. Mm. And I, for me, it's always been to build a place where people feel less alone. So when mm. someone says that to me, I'm like, oh my god, like, it means so much. And it also kind of makes me realize that actually, like, it's doing its thing. Like, it's, yeah. it's like doing the thing that I intended it mm-hmm. to do, which is obviously like to help people.
Yeah, of course. And I think it links quite well to what Nilla said in one of my first episode, actually. She talked about how when she first built her platform, she got an interview with Jane Goodall. Nilla was just a huge fan of hers. And she spoke to her about kind of, well, I only have like, I don't know, 500 followers, and no one's really listening to this. And Jane was like, you never know who's listening, and you don't know how many people are going to listen to that and take something away. Even if it's 10 people, that's 10 people you've made an impact on. So don't belittle that sort of platform, because you never know where that's going to go and how that's going to work out for that person.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so powerful. Like, it's so nice to think that behind those statistics and those numbers, there's real people listening to you and wanting to engage with yeah. you regularly. And it's so sweet.
It's
so
really interesting to know that, though, because sometimes, like, yeah. especially when I do solo episodes and I'm putting out, like, just mm. my thoughts and, like, mm. how I feel about a certain situation. Like, I recorded an episode about why my birthday has given me anxiety for the past, like, 5 years. Which I didn't realise was that relatable for everyone else. Yeah. I thought I was, like, the only one, but apparently not.
But also, to hear you, or like anyone, like any podcaster, process what they're going through on a mic,
yeah.
and just be like, I don't really know either, but this is what I think, and like, let me know what you think. And just that idea of, oh, not everyone's got it sorted out, people don't know what lots of things mean, and they're just working out just the same as I am, is so powerful. I'm often talking about like creative pursuits and like dreaming, and the idea that we've got to like fantasize and think about other realities to sort of work out what we want and who we want to be. But with that comes a lot of insecurity about your day to day, because you have to naturally sort of detach from security to think about all the cool stuff you could be doing in a made up reality that you're not there yet. But so many creative, so many successful people go through that period of, I don't like what I'm doing, or I want to do something else. And they have to have that period of trying new things and being bad at stuff for a while before they get to like success and being an expert in something. And only through talking about that can we sort of like get to that next point.
Yeah. And it makes you realize just how many people are like going through the same thing
mm-hmm.
as well. And I think that can sometimes bring so much comfort,
mm-hmm.
especially when you feel like you're going through something alone.
Yeah. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about your creative beginnings and your Desi Dreamer inspiration as well. So can you tell me a little bit more about your cultural and ethnic background and how that sort of influenced your creative process in audio?
Yeah, so I am from a Punjabi Sikh family. Mm-hmm. I'm the first generation born here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like and I'm also the eldest daughter, so I feel like I had a very kind of like typical eldest daughter in a South Asian family. upbringing. I was also probably the first generation really kind of like figuring it out as well, because I always kind of see myself as like on this pendulum and spectrum of being British and obviously Punjabi, and like depending on like where I am in life, that pendulum will always swing. And I think only like the last couple of years do I feel like I have a really kind of like good balance with my cultural identity. And I've always struggled with my cultural identity because I think so many people can relate, but like I felt like I had to code switch a lot. I feel like coming back home and my home environment was very Punjabi, and then going to school it was very British. It's like sometimes you get confused, but like where do I fit into like all of this as well. And I think like now I've got into like a really good space to be like, this is who I am, and I'm proud to be Punjabi, and I'm proud to be South Asian. I'm also really proud to be born and raised in the UK. I love being a Londoner. I will say this with my heart. Like, I love the fact that I'm born and raised in London. So it has influenced me. I think it's also influenced me because I grew up being very creative, and I loved like art and like scrapbooking and like loved video editing and all of these different things. However, like growing up, I also knew that wasn't like a feasible career option. So I think I was subconsciously ushered into like more of those typical South Asian career fields, and I ended up doing a degree in finance, which is the most unlike thing for me. Like, I'm good at maths and I was like good at school, but like finance isn't my passion. And I think it was only during COVID that I kind of realized that radio and audio was what I wanted to do, because I used to have my own radio show at uni for like campus radio, and I loved it. Like, I love this medium. I also grew up with a lot of radio, like listening to Radio 1, BBC Asian Network, like Capital. Like, there was always radio around me, and I was like, how cool would it be to like be a radio show host? Like, or how cool would it be to like, I didn't know podcasts were a thing like back then, right? So the fact that like now I have a podcast and technically host my own show, I like, I'm like, 5-year-old Pretty is like fangirling right now. And she's like, you did what?
Yeah. And also at that point, that wasn't even a dream. It was just some far off, non-existent, like never going to happen sort of thought. And now you're living that dream. But also it's so similar to my beginnings in audio, literally like word for word. I was like, yep, I relate. Yes, this is the same. Because I grew up in a predominantly white area. I grew up very Indian and like was raised very South Indian, and I'd go to school and I'd code switch and I'd pretend that whatever was in my sandwiches was something that everyone else would eat, because I wouldn't be able to describe what like a chutney was to these people. And like, so much of what you said was so relatable. And then I also loved listening to radio. Like, I, every time we'd get in the car, I'd be like, put the radio on. Like, I just want to listen to the radio. And then when I found out about podcasts, I, like, all my Spotify sort of listening time is podcasts. Like, it's hardly music. Like, I listen to so much audio. And then I realized, well, sounds like I can do it. If I try, I can do it too. So it was such a similar segue. And do you feel like when you look back on that journey, like you can't believe that you got to where you are? Or does it feel like you can see how those stepping stones got you there?
I think like when even when it comes to like humble beginnings, like I had the idea to start this podcast back in 2019 and I procrastinated and did not do it for 9 months. And I feel like a big part of it was also like, I grew up, and you might be able to relate to this, but like, I grew up in a predominantly South Asian family where we weren't really taught how to be vulnerable. And we weren't really taught how to like share our emotions and our feelings. And I kind of felt like I had to go through my own personal journey to like learn how to be vulnerable and to learn to share and almost like understand that being vulnerable is such a strength. And I think like it's so amazing for someone to be so open and vulnerable. Like, I really commend people, because it can be so hard, especially like when you're not like taught that. But I think like now I'm in like a really good space in terms of like vulnerability, that I think for me, like those 9 months, I was literally like, I don't know, like, should I do it? Should I not do it? I don't know. This, it's a lot, because putting yourself out there is really tough. And it's a lot of a mental game. Like, it's you're kind of battling with yourself because you're like, should I do it? Should I not do it? Oh my God, like, what will people think? Like, and we come from a culture where what will people think is very ingrained in us from a very, very young age. So to even like break that mental barrier was a journey. But I'm like so glad I did it because the opportunities that I've gotten through this podcast, the people that I get to meet, like including yourself, like, it's so nice to meet one, like-minded people, and two, just like, it's just opened up this like brand new world, and like, it's just been incredible, like, some of the things that I've been invited to, or like, I was on the cover of a magazine for like my podcast, and like, it's just been amazing. And to think that like, I didn't even start it at one point, to like see where it is now. But I think more importantly, it's opened me up to these really incredible people and creatives who are doing such amazing things, and I honestly like see like so much awe, like I have so much awe for those people because I know how hard it can be, and they're like following their dreams and their pursuits, and it's absolutely amazing, and it's just so nice to be able to like somewhat be a part of that world.
Yeah, not somewhat, you're definitely you're very part of that world. And I think I also, when I saw sort of Dialed In and Daytimers and all these huge sort of South Asian collectives, I just thought it's so incredible creating these platforms and communities. And I obviously had like Rohan and Durva from those collectives on my last series, and I did just think like, even in some way engaging with part of that world and contributing to that space of like South Asian culture and creativity that's now popping off in London is so exciting. And there's so many people to meet, like meeting you, and like also like the world of audio has opened up to me. Like the Transmission Roundhouse has been so incredible in teaching me so much about like the processes, but also introducing me to such cool creatives that like the thought of not doing it now, I'd be like, well, there would be so much missing, and I wouldn't even know that I'd have that much missing if I'd never taken that leap into the dark.
Yeah, I think it also like really, I feel like with my podcast, I think it's really like helped me like with my own personal development as well, but also like the skills you learn from this. It's like a whole new, basically, career avenue. And I'm like self-taught, so I've learned everything myself, so it's really what I love about it is just the skills that you get from putting yourself out there and like learning new things, because those skills will always be there.
Yeah, and you also never know in what other part of your life it's going to come into use.
Yeah.
I feel like I can rationalize what I think and be able to present it when I speak so much better now, because I have to prep for podcasting and then just interview new people. Like, I feel like I've learned that so much better through just throwing myself in the deep end and reaching out to random creatives that I've not met before, and then having to process through, okay, how am I going to make this work? When are we going to answer these questions and talk about these topics? And then in my day job, which is an office job, when we're putting meetings in, I can just go, I know exactly how to play this because it's similar skills. I wanted to ask also, who's the Desi Dreamer who you've chosen to spotlight, and why do they matter to you?
Okay, so I was really thinking about this, and I feel like for me it is Gurinder Chadha.
Love.
I feel like Bend It Like Beckham for me was the first film that I ever watched where I felt so seen as being a brown girl from London.
Yeah.
But also the fact that it was from a Punjabi Sikh family, and I grew up as like Punjabi and Sikh. And I just felt like that film, to this day, number one. Like, it is like the, you know, the ultimate comfort film. Like, for me, Bend It Like Beckham is the ultimate comfort film.
It is such a good film.
Yeah.
It is so good. I think, like, the balances, the also the concept that it's centered around her loving football, not just her like living, like you get to see her sort of going through a passion and trying to pursue a passion as well as navigate her family life. That makes the identity and coming of age story so much more real, because it's anchored to like a pursuit of passion that all of us have. Like, it's a dream for sure. And when was your last rewatch?
A couple of weeks ago, I'm not gonna lie. It's on Netflix now, so
And Keira Knightley's great in it as well.
Oh my God, yeah. So good. Yeah. It was amazing. And it's also like I was saying before, it's like that sprinkle of culture. Like mm-hmm. her story is still her story, mm-hmm. but it's just the fact that she grew up South Asian and she grew mm-hmm. up in this type of family, like what you were saying, mm-hmm. that was like part of who she is and not everything she is.
Yes. Yeah. And have you sort of engaged with any other of Gurinder Chadha's work? Is there anything else that you love about
her? I watched Christmas Karma recently. Oh. The Bhangra Christmas song in that, I actually played on repeat more times than I care to admit. But yeah, I watched Christmas Karma, and again, mm-hmm. like that was really great in spotlighting mm-hmm. and also having a very different approach on Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Is it Charles Dickens who wrote it?
I think so.
Okay.
I'll fact check that. Yeah, and then if it's not, I'll take it out.
Yeah. The Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And I felt like just being able to have a South Asian spin on that was like mm-hmm. really incredible. And also like there might be spoilers. I don't want to ruin it, but there are spoilers. But she also spotlights the immigration of people, of South Asian people from Uganda to the UK. Mm. And I didn't know that. Mm. And we're not taught that in school, yeah. obviously. And like that was a part of history that I think was not very mainstream at that time. And to be able to just like understand that was amazing. And then it was amazing for her to even spotlight that mm-hmm. as well.
Do you think that anything from Benedict Like Beckham or Gurinder's work more broadly has sort of influenced your own journey and like shaped how you've approached audio or storytelling?
Yeah, I think it kind of made me realize that we are main characters. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think for so much, like I grew up being a TV movie kid, still mm-hmm. a TV movie girly. But it's going back to what I said before, like I never used to be able to find myself in these characters 100%, like because there was never really that many South Asian main characters. Mm-hmm. We were always the friend or the nerd or the kind of like, I don't want to say it, but like we were kind of just like the extra. Mm-hmm. Like we weren't, it was never stories about us. Mm. And I think growing up being British Asian, I think we're constantly trying to look for pockets of community and pockets of where we're seen. Mm-hmm. And I think Gurinder does that so incredibly with Benedict Like Beckham. And it was the first time that I honestly felt like, hey, it's a story of a girl that looks like me.
And also, it's so groundbreaking at the time. When was it? Was it like 2004, something like that?
Yeah.
Like early noughties, for sure. So people really weren't doing things like that at that point. I think Goodness Gracious Me had been out. But other than that, especially in British mainstream media, there hadn't been something like that. And they didn't expect it to be as successful as it was. Like, obviously, it was... they'd put some money into it and she'd put it out, but like the way it became like a cult classic, no one was expecting.
Yeah, it's like I feel like it's a cultural phenomenon,
and people, like if you ask most people, they will know the movie. Yeah. And also All the Lionesses, it's their favorite film. Like it's not just about platforming South Asian people, but also girls who love football. And that was such a, like, you know, that was such a misnomer and something that people didn't talk about, so that was a huge thing that she did as well.
Yeah,
I think it was based on Ian Wright's life, but that might be fake news. Again, I'll check that before I leave.
Let me fact check that.
So that's such a great Daisy Dreamer. So lovely to hear about it. I wanted to speak quickly about sort of the concept of Britishness, which you touched upon earlier. Obviously, sometimes like growing up in Britain and having South Asian identity, it feels like a dual heritage. It feels like two different things that clash at each other. But do you think there are instances where they build on each other and they've supported you in your creation of content or just generally in life? Do you feel like there's positives to that dual heritage, or do you feel like you've had to navigate the difficulties of it more than celebrate its successes?
I think like growing up in London, the thing that I love is the diversity. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so ingrained in like London culture. Mm-hmm. Is being able to like grow up in school with people from loads of different communities and loads of different cultures. Mm-hmm. And it's so celebrated. Mm-hmm. And like it never ever felt weird to me mm-hmm. growing up that I was a person of colour.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I love, but also the fact that I now have best friends who are all from different cultures and communities. Mm-hmm. And like, it's so interesting because when we speak, they might not specifically be from the same culture as me, but the conversations and the experiences they have are also very similar to my experiences.
Yeah. From the sort of perspective of having that immigrant background, like being second gen in the country and navigating parent dynamics of not understanding British culture and things like that.
And I think it really opens you up to like new perspectives and obviously like of new cultures, but also like things like new celebrations and new cuisines. And I think I love the multiculturalism and I love the fact that like you can kind of just do you as well. Like, again, growing up in London, no one bats an eyelid. Like, everyone's so busy doing their own thing. And it's sometimes really nice to be able to just go on your path and just, like, do your thing and not to have loads of opinions and eyes. And I don't know, sometimes I sit on the tube and I'm like, do you know what, I like this feeling of just being invisible.
I think it was last week I saw a man literally carrying a tree on his shoulder going onto the tube, and nobody cared. I was like, he could be carrying anything, nobody cares. And it was almost that feeling of, it is, you're in a city that's so vibrant and so multicultural that anything goes, and that's so freeing that you can really just work out what you are and what you want to be and have no sense of I need to know right now. You can work it out as you go, and then at some point when you feel more sort of in line or like you can build those communities, there will be people who relate to you in some way or other because it's so huge and there's so many people there.
Yeah, and it's actually really nice as well. Like I said, I'm such a proud Londoner.
I love that. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about dreaming forward and like future and next steps. So I mentioned when I intro'd the podcast that your podcast has ranked in the top 3% globally, which is a huge achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has your definition of success sort of evolved since you started podcasting?
I think for me, like a big part of the podcast when it started, like, so I actually had the idea to start this podcast on the tube back in 2019 as I was commuting to like my corporate job, which that time 5 days a week in the office. Oh my God.
Crazy.
And I kind of always had this idea in the back of my head to be like, I really just want to be able to create a podcast for South Asian girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I used to search a lot for brown girl podcast, South Asian podcast, I didn't really see anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much. And I was like, okay, cool, let me just do this. I never expected it to get to where it is today. I was just like, oh, this is just... Because if you listen back to, like, my early episodes, it is just solo episodes of me and my thoughts. And what I feel very passionately about. So it never really got into, like, being an interview thing until COVID.
Okay.
To be honest, I started in COVID, but this was, like, to the end of, like, the lockdown and the pandemic. And then I was like, wait, like, there are so many incredible stories. There's so many incredible people that might not ever have the platform to share stories. And stories, I think, is so universal. The language of storytelling is so, I think, is so powerful in the way that it can literally help someone feel so much less alone.
Yeah.
And I think that level of relatability or that level of comfort, if your story can bring that to someone else, like, you never know like who you're helping, you never know who's listening. I think so. For me, I didn't actually think it would get to where it is, but now it is there. I honestly just want to be able to like keep sharing stories from people in our community who are doing such amazing things who might not get the platform beforehand, but I also just want to build it to a place where South Asian girls in their 20s and 30s that want to listen to a relatable podcast about everyday life, like talking about things like dating. I recorded an episode recently about childbirth. Like, I'm no way in that period of life yet, but it's interesting to know, considering no one gave me like a conversation or an explanation about what really happens when you give birth. But also, like, when, like, now that I've just entered my 30s, loads of people's lives are completely different. And I think the fact that like navigating this path, it can sometimes be really tough as well, especially in a world of layoffs and like engagements and breakups and marriage and weddings and all of these different things that happen, or buying a house, mortgages. Sometimes we don't have these conversations within our homes and within our circles and within our families. And hopefully, like, I do want that, like, my podcast to be a place where people can come and be like, oh, I want to learn more about mortgages, and they'd be able to learn about mortgages. Or I want to learn more about fertility, for example. But to be able to have those conversations in a more nuanced way from people who look like you, who might understand your background or might understand the certain cultural context or the certain level of intersectionality that another person might not be able to. I think that's really important. And sometimes I think in everyday conversations, that's what's missing, is that level of nuance.
That's so interesting. And also, I think the medium of audio is so much more intimate than movies and books. Like, obviously, all culture and all creative outputs are so meaningful in their own way. But I think something about just putting your headphones in and hearing you speak to me about something that you're worried about, and then interviewing someone about something else that's like a big sort of life question in your 20s or your 30s, then by the end of that podcast, you feel like you've just sat around a table with two friends talking about life, but having that safety and security of, oh, two people are going through the same thing as me, or thought about the same stuff as me, or taught me about something I didn't know. So I think it's such a powerful medium to storytell and to sort of bring about those conversations that you talked about.
Yeah, and honestly, those are my favorite podcasts as well. Are the ones where it's like two friends or like a group of friends, and you're like, I feel like the friend too.
I'm in the group chat.
I'm in the group chat.
I love that. I love that. And do you think that you have some like sort of responsibility when you're talking to your audiences? Do you ever think, I need to make sure I cover these things for their benefit? Or do you just sort of go with your individual thoughts and what you've been thinking about?
I think it's a mix of both. I think I can only really talk from like my own experience, and like I said, again, I can only cover it from being Punjabi and being from a Punjabi and Sikh background, when obviously, like I said, South Asia is so diverse. There's so many different cultures and subcultures and religions, and I think that's beautiful. So I can only talk from like my little pocket of my experience. And I think for me, that's like two things. I think one, I want it to be educational. I want it for people to come and feel like, wow, they've learned something. But also, yeah, I do feel like this level of responsibility in terms of like wanting to be able to convey information that makes them feel seen and that makes them feel like their experience is validated. And I think that's also really important as well.
And do you think things are shifting for diaspora voices? We talked about sort of when we were growing up having to code switch and not knowing about navigating our identity. But do you think things are changing, or do you see a lot of the same?
I think they are changing. I think I feel like when we grew up, there wasn't the medium of social media. I think when we grew up, the biggest media that the biggest medium we had was traditional TV and traditional film and traditional radio. I think now the introduction of social media and YouTube, I think we'll be able to create those spaces for ourselves. It's the same with your podcast, the same with my podcast. And I think that's what's shifting, and I think that's what's changing, is the fact that we are now seeing so many people that look like us on a more digital screen. And I wish that that still gets transcended into traditional media, because I do think that we're still very underrepresented when it comes to films and when it comes to TV shows. But I think like when it comes to socials and social media, I think we've been able to create rooms and spaces for ourselves. And I think I see so many people on social media who are really putting themselves out there, and I think that's really special, considering we come from a culture where it's a lot of like, what will people think, or don't do this or don't do that, or follow this the main road and not take like this like diversion to like another field. And there's so many people are breaking those boundaries and are finding their voices, and I think we still need more of that. And everyone has a story. Everyone's story is so valid, and I do think that like the more we see of ourselves, the more normalized it will be for younger generations who are growing up in the more digital age and for them, seeing South Asian faces is normal. Like for us, that wasn't normal.
No, absolutely not. I remember, I think I've spoken about it before, but I used to love Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh my God, me too!
Rani. Yes! Rani was literally my life. I was like, there is a brown girl on TV who wants to be a journalist. This is me. I can't believe I can see me on the TV.
Oh my God, that is such a throwback. That and M.I. High.
Oh my God, Rose.
Yes.
Loved her. Loved her.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were like, a handful of brown people on TV. But the way I cling on to them, like they were literally my guiding figures.
Yeah, same with EastEnders. Like I grew up in the era of like Masood family, family, and I was like, oh my God, that's a South Asian family.
No, but it's so funny because there'll be so many South Asian, well, now adults, but kids up and down the country who would also cling on to those same people that we do. The actress for Rani, Anjali Mahindra, she doesn't know how many people she would have inspired just by existing on TV.
Oh my God. And I loved her character.
She was so great. She was such a boss. I loved her.
Yeah.
She was so cool.
Honestly, there used to be an Instagram page and it would post a picture every single time there was like a Sikh person on TV on an advert or on a billboard, and it used I used to love that page, and I was like, yes, oh my God. I was like, you know when you like watch the news or you watch TV and there's someone, like for my family it was like a Sikh person, I'd be like, oh my God, it's like a person with a bug.
I used to think that with the news. I know there was Rita Chakrabarty, and then on BBC Breakfast they had Naga, and any time they were the presenters I'd be like, yeah, it's our girl, as if I knew her. It's literally just the brown person.
But it's that feeling of like being seen.
Yeah.
That's like the thing that it like invokes in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also it's the idea that a space that you're not trying to be in or you don't see yourself in, there's someone who looks like you there. And that is that descriptive representation.
So and it's really inspirational as well to be able to see someone who looks like you in a field that you want to pursue. I think it's really, really important.
Yeah. 100%. I think that's why like Cat's Eye and these girl bands, like all these sort of areas where there's not been South Asian representation before, people are like losing their minds, and I'm like, well, of course, because we never thought it was possible until you just see someone doing it. Do you have a dream collaboration for your podcast?
I have so many dream collaborations. Where do I start? I have a couple. Grinda Chadha is one of them. I would literally fangirl so much if she comes on my podcast. I would also say Jay Sean. I would love to interview Jay Sean. I think he's really cool. I would also say Sadiq Khan, Mayor of London.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, that's just my inner London girly wanting to do that.
I feel like he'd make time for a podcast app.
I would, like, Sadiq Khan, if you're listening to this, mate, come on, please come on my podcast.
Hit me up.
And also Lily Singh.
Yeah.
Lily Singh was the first person that I saw who I really related to on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I really grew up with Lily Singh, and the fact that she was really, like, incredible at kind of being that South Asian representation for so many girls that grew up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also a girl that grew up on YouTube. So that was really special to see. My other one is Diljit Dosanjh, but I need to get better at Punjabi.
Okay. You need to practice a little bit cultural. And then you
I need to start talking in Punjabi more so that I can interview him. I would love to interview Diljit Dosanjh.
I think when he's next on tour, if he's doing something Asian Network vibe, let's manifest all
we're manifesting all of these, and then when they do happen I'm going to message you and be like, they happen,
and I'll just be in the corner like, can I just also be here. So moving on to my final question, do you think of yourself as a dreamer? So often we get told not to daydream and not to get distracted but to concentrate, but do you think there's sometimes a necessity to sit and dream about or fantasize about a reality to eventually break boundaries and be a trailblazer?
100%. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to be a daydreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's when you get like your best ideas. And I think that's also when you kind of create this fantasy and this vision of what it is you want from your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you have to be a bit delusional to like make it happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to daydream. I think it's really important to really figure out what is it that you want from life? Like, I know sometimes I really think about this and I'm like, we only get one life. We get one shot at this.
Mm-hmm.
Do it in the way that, like, will give you that. Do it in a way that. Let me rephrase that. Oh, God. Do it in a way that will bring you a lot of joy as well. And I think sometimes we hinder ourselves when it comes to our dreams. And we're like, no, we can't do it. Or the imposter syndrome decides to imposter syndrome, like, really hard. But I feel like if you have a dream, I think it's your responsibility to make that dream come true.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason that dream has been planted in you.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think you don't want to leave yourself with what ifs.
Oh my God,
yeah. You don't
want
to look back and think, imagine if I'd just taken that leap or just gone to that event and met that person. Like, you never know the butterfly effect of what you're doing. So you should never leave those to chance.
I also feel like if I didn't start my podcast, I wouldn't be able to meet such incredible people. Like, I'm here. This is really cool. But also, like, I was watching a movie recently and it basically said this line where it was saying, what and if are two words that when you put, like, which you say out loud, they don't really have that much meaning. Mm. But when you put together, have so much, like, pull and gravitational, like, they evoke. Let me say that whole thing because I'm trying to remember the quote in my brain and I'm like, what did it say?
Do you remember the movie?
It was Letters to Juliet.
Okay.
And it was basically saying how, like, what and if are two words that don't really have a lot of substance, but when you put them together, the magnitude of that word can be really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, even with me, like, the podcast for me was because I honestly don't want to, like, be old and regret it. Mm. I think for me, if this is my podcast, for me, is kind of like the dream.
Yeah.
And I think I know that I would really kick myself when I'm older if I didn't get the chance to be able to do this to my fullest potential.
Yeah. And also all of the skills and things that you'll learn through it and all of the experiences and also self-growth and personal development that you get through it. It's not just about sort of trying something new, but it's also all of the things that you can use from that experience in the rest of your life.
The amount of growing you do, second to none.
Exactly. Are there any other inspirational Desi Dreamers that you want to give a shout out to?
I feel like the UK South Asian podcasters who are doing such amazing things with their podcasters. With their podcasts are absolutely amazing. And I know, like, especially with yourself and even me, like, breaking into an industry that you probably don't know much about can sometimes be really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, there are so many, and going back to what I said before, like, there are so many people out there who are really putting themselves out there and starting businesses and starting podcasts or going down a more creative route. I think there is so much power in that.
Mm.
And I think they should all be really proud of themselves because this world, this industry, like, for a lot of us, we weren't taught it.
No.
And we're figuring it out one step at a time. And I think from my experience, especially, I feel like everyone's been so lovely and so collaborative. Mm. And it's that feeling of, like, rising together.
Yeah.
And I think that's really special.
And it's so lovely to see, especially when we're trying to navigate identity and all these other big questions, that, you know, you have communities in all of these spaces that we go into. That's so beautiful and it's so lovely. Do you want to plug any social media before we finish?
Yeah, so please, if you want to listen to another South Asian podcast, then definitely check out It's Pretty Personal on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and you can also follow the behind the scenes journey on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Personal.
Amazing. And do you want to plug any work you have coming up? Is there anything that we've got to look forward to next series?
Oh my God, there's so many cool episodes coming out. And I think a lot of it is rooted in everyday conversations, but from the lens of being South Asian. So like I said, we're having conversations around, like, infertility, childbirth, career switching, promotions, finding hobbies, loads of different things. And I think those are kind of just like everyday life conversations, but just being had from the South Asian perspective.
Love that. And we'll keep an eye on your social media for all the new apps and all of the content. Love that. That's all that we have for today. Thank you so much, Prithi, for joining me on Desi Dreamers.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely loved this conversation.
Thank you so much for listening to Desi Dreamers. I hope this story was a powerful reminder of the incredible resilience, creativity, and determination that defines the South Asian diaspora. We've taken a journey which has explored the cultural influences, personal challenges, and transformative moments that have shaped a unique narrative. Each episode of Desi Dreamers is a testament to the fact that our stories matter, that representation isn't just about seeing ourselves reflected, but about understanding the complex, beautiful journeys that bring us to our most authentic selves. Importantly, our cultural heritage is not a limitation, but our greatest source of strength. Desi Dreamers is powered by Transmission Roundhouse and is available on all major podcast platforms. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you love today's story, please leave a review and share it with anyone who needs to hear about these incredible journeys. Next time, I'll be diving into another incredible story that proves our dreams have no boundaries. Until then, keep dreaming, keep believing, and most importantly, keep being unapologetically you. I'm Nikita Nachipan, and this has been Desi Dreamers.